This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Saluting Her Endeavour, or SHE, SHE for short, is an organisation aimed at helping both neglected children of prisoners as well as single mothers. Professor Dr. Aruna Gopinath, the president of SHE, joins me to discuss how the organisation is trying to uplift the lives of people in both these groups through education. Welcome to the show, Professor.
Good afternoon.
Your academic work includes a comparative study on the liberation movements in South Thailand and the Southern Philippines. What led you to set up Saluting Her Endeavor?
Oh, that's a very good question, because from terrorism moving into the social backgrounds, you know, of these children and ladies, I think what struck me was when I was in India, you know, early in 2011, I met a very wonderful lady called Lady Shruti Rana. Her husband sits in the House of Lords. And so she is a social worker. And she was doing a lot of good work, you know, throughout India, trying to help the single ladies and also neglected children. And when I bumped into her, she was asking me whether it's possible that we extend the arm to several parts of Asia and Southeast Asia. Of course, I met some Sri Lankans who were prepared to work with us. But Southeast Asia, at that point, I didn't know who to draw. So I said, okay. And then in 2013, she came down, you know, to Kuala Lumpur for one of the meetings. And then she decided, why don't we draw up a few women? So I called up a few professionals and we all sat down over tea. And we decided, why not? We call it, this proposal came from Singapore. You know, a lady said, why don't we call it SHE, Saluting Her Endeavor? Because her endeavor doesn't just mean her aspirations or her achievements. You know, it can mean more than that. So we decided we will touch on that word endeavor itself, and we can explore many things there. And that's how the word came about.
Mm-hmm. Why focus on helping single mothers and the children of prisoners in particular? Why that focus?
Earlier, because since Lady Shruti said it was going to be more of a women's movement, I thought, okay, we will also talk about women, and especially there are a lot of battered women. I wanted to sort of highlight the battered women. Then I also realized there are a lot of battered men. Men also get battered along the way, you know, in their lives. Even they came and asked me, is it possible if we can join you? So I said, why not? You know, it should be a holistic approach where we shouldn't have any gender bias and we should include everyone. But my friend, who's Mr. Subramaniam, who was a lawyer by training and a retired teacher, you know, he was a Brinsford-trained teacher. He had done, during his law days, a paper on peniology, you know, in Bristol. And then he was telling me, you know, it's a very, very sad thing to see children, you know, prisoners or children of prisoners being neglected. And then I decided, yes, you know, rather than working for the women on block, we should also, you know, give our attention to children, because there are many women's movements today. We got WAUO, you know, many organizations that help women. But I think for children of prisoners, I've not yet heard of any who wanted to come forth and help, except for maybe NCWO. They started something trying to help the prison, you know, the prisoners and prison wardens and how the prison wardens can come forth, you know. So I decided, okay. So I went to Kajang Prison, talked to the Director General, and, you know, to see whether there's anything that we can do. And he was very happy because he felt that these children must come out into the open, you know, and live out of the stigma. Because, you know, when you have the stigma that your parents are murderers or robbers, you know, they are pushed to a corner. And people keep talking about it. They're never, even in the schools, they're never brought, you know, into the normal environment. So we decided we will definitely work towards the children of prisoners as our first target.
I wanted to talk a little bit about what you said just then about, these children are never brought out into the open. They don't really get that chance. Where do they tend to, what are their living arrangements like?
Okay. Now, if the parents are both prisoners, all right, and apparently, say, for example, if I'm taking a lady prisoner, right, and she's pregnant, so, of course, they look after her. She gives birth in the jail, in the cell. Of course, we have the medical team there to come and help her. The child is kept with her for about 3 years. Even young children, if the parents are still in the jail, they are brought, to live with them till the age of 3. After that, and they have a nice, beautiful nursery and some caretakers. But then, when they want to have their milk, they go back to the mother. Then they come forth. But there's nothing more than that, to teach them or train them in whatever, they have lots of toys because people come and donate. But apart from that, people need time to give attention to them. That is not available. So you find that these children live there till the age of 3. After that, they go back to their relatives. Now, the relatives all come from very poor backgrounds. Apparently, they may have about 8 children, 9 children. And when you see that, extra coming in, they will always be neglected. And the normal things that are being told to them, why do you have to study? Your father was a murderer, your mother was a robber or a prostitute, so why do you have to study? You to follow the same footsteps. Things like that. And this is where you notice as they grow, the gangsters are waiting. Because these areas that they live, Kajang, the outskirts and all, in Kuala Selangor, Banting areas and all, gangsterism is quite, high. So you notice these are the people waiting to rope them in at very young ages. So we don't want that because they can all become social miscreants. And this will be a problem for us. In fact, through organizations like ours, we are helping the government to sort of ease out the social problems. But it's a lot, it's a real task for us too,
And what happens if there aren't even relatives who are going to step forward? Because you say up to the age of 3 and then, but it's a long life after that.
Yes. So what happens is that if they don't have anybody, there is a department, a welfare department, even within the jail, the prisons, and they will take measures of how they can help out these children, which means it's an indoor thing, and they guide them. And then perhaps, there may be people who want to adopt them. So the welfare department takes over from then. Now, when I'm talking about this SHE program for children of prisoners, it's above race, religion, creed, which means we are allowing any child to come, whether they are Malays, Chinese or Indian children. But the majority that I saw were from the Malay group and Indian group. I didn't see Chinese children, because I was told the Chinese associations look after them. So that's a very good thing. So which means we got only 2 groups, to really care for. And it's not an easy task, bringing them out, trying to tell them, look, you can also do well in life. My aim is to ensure that at least one child, from any group will reach university.
With these children always being told, your parents were like this, you are expected to be like, to follow in their footsteps and so on, do they tend to carry the guilt for the crimes committed by their parents? And, what's the impact of that?
You see, when you're children, you don't seem to remember too many things, because you play with the others and then you tend to forget. But it's the elders, especially the relatives, because to give an extra mouth, food and all is a big pain for them. So they keep telling, what's the point, you going to school, or why should I feed you? After all, your parents were both, are both serving a jail sentence. Wait for them to come back, then you go and join them. So they keep telling that. So it's being drummed into their heads. And then ultimately the child feels, he's a loser and he's a no-gooder. So the only way he feels he can do something will be to join these gangsters and show that he can do something, you see. So we want to stop that. You know, we want to ensure that they don't fall into the wrong hands. So for me, it is only through education, you know. Education is the upliftment. So we want to pull them out from this and tell them, look, there are ways, you know. So we are drawing many of these volunteer teachers to go along and see how we can help out with these children.
We find out more about Shi's work in terms of helping the children of prisoners, as well as the gaps in our approach to caring for these children when we're trying to integrate them into a regular school environment. After this, I'm speaking today with Professor Dr. Aruna Gopinath, president of Saluting Her Endeavor, or Shi for short. Stay tuned to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. With me, Professor Dr. Aruna Gopinath, president of Saluting Her Endeavor, or Shi for short. And Saluting Her Endeavor is an organization that aims to help both neglected children of prisoners as well as single mothers. And it's the former that we're still looking at the moment. So you've talked about why Shi, wanted to help children of prisoners. Now, and the importance of doing so, what work exactly are you doing in the area? Who are you roping in? How do you, you know, kind of compensate for those familial issues that you mentioned earlier?
Okay. Actually, we are a group of professionals at the moment, and we are all volunteers. You know, whoever wanted to join, come on board, join the bandwagon, and see how they can contribute in one way or another. I have some retired teachers who think they can come and help us, because they have time in their hands. And that, and also, those of us who are working, we juggle, you know. The idea is to ensure that at least during the weekends, we can, you know, sort of give attention to these children. Because at the moment, these children are all located different areas. For example, if I'm looking, I'm only focusing on Kajang prison. They are either in Kajang, Seremban, or some of them are in Kuala Selangor area, Banting areas. Now, it's not easy to bring everybody together at one focal point. So what we are planning to do is that those in the Kajang, Seremban areas, the teachers from there, they will, you know, try to help them out. Whereas in the Kuala Selangor, Banting areas, the teachers from those areas will try to see how we can bring them into the school system. More than just becoming part of the school is to make them feel at home with the whole environment. And also, for example, you see, they don't have access to storybooks. They don't have access to proper games, IT. You see, we have provided about 15, laptops. And what do they do with laptops, you see? So we have to teach them. So I need IT specialists, volunteers to come and help them. And then we can see how they can improve. Because I have, in my AMA Foundation, which is the All Malaysia Malayali Association, who donated the laptops to us through the Ministry of Multimedia, we have got a set of children that we handle from the long houses. And when we use this laptops, today, those children can go on Skype, and that is with the Philippines, you know. And I was simply amazed at how this can be carried out. So if you give them the attention, the motivation, any child definitely can, you know, achieve his dreams, you know.
When we look at our schooling system, does it sufficiently, is it supportive right now of children who come from social and economic disadvantages?
Well, there are, of course, you know, the schools in the outskirts, they cater for these groups. You know, most of them are the parents, either laborers, economically disadvantaged groups. But when they are told one of the child is a child of a prisoner, you know, the mind goes in a different direction altogether. And they have that fear because, you know, they're seated next to this child and he may also steal their things. You know, it boggles them down. So I think that we have to clear this, you know, have a new approach towards, you know, integrating children. Because if you don't start at that young age, even as you grow older, you still will have the stigma. You know, we want to erase that stigma. No child should feel that he is, you know, he will never fit into the society, nor will he think that he cannot function in the school system, you know.
We've been talking about children of prisoners, but you also work with single mothers.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, for the single mothers, we haven't started per se as to how we're going to do it. We have, like, for example, we want to look at, you know, how these women or men, for the example, can come forward. And we can also, it's through education. You know, many women have asked me whether they can also have access to IT knowledge. I think that is very important for them. Cake baking and all that, I think, is quite common now. Many people are teaching them sewing, handicrafts and all. But I think if you go to a higher level, like IT, empowering them with entrepreneurial skills. I think that's important. Then at least they can start something on their own. See, they don't have to be dependent on anyone else. So we want to ensure that these women can stand on their own feet and then, you know, they can, you know, establish themselves in a small, even if they can have a small, you know, what you call center for them to work, they can, you know, at least get some remuneration, you know.
Do you view it as something like a mentorship program? Because, of course, you know, I can have the skills to start something, but starting a business or starting any sort of, I think, new endeavor is by and large going to be rippled, you know, riddled with potholes, and there are all these different things you have to consider. So is there going to be ongoing support?
Of course, because I think I will need the support from the government, all the various ministries, the women's ministries, and, you know, even NGOs. I think NGOs are the best because they've already gone into all this very deeply. And I think they will definitely come forward if we think there are gaps and we can work together. Because I don't think any organization in its, you know, if we are starting something, we can just work on our own feet. It has to be a collaboration. You know, we have to collaborate with other organizations to see how, you know, what we do not have, they can help us. And likewise, you know, it is vis-a-vis other organizations. And in that way, I think we cover many areas, you know. And so we cannot say we are an expert on one particular area alone, you know. So I want all these organizations to come forward at the end of the day. Perhaps, you know, we can all join together and then see how we can overcome the obstacles, you know, for these women too, you know.
Who are some of these other local NGOs that you would hope to work with?
Well, I'm planning, of course, I want to work with the ministries, you know, the ministry, women's ministry, mm-hmm. the welfare department. But at the same time, I have this Brickfields College, you know, Mr. Rajasingham, who has been very, very supportive of the activities that, and, you know, he's a philanthropist. Plus, at the same time, he's very forward in his thinking. And even just over the weekend, he had just gone to Banting, Kuala Selangor area, and provided the children there with 500 bags, you know, school bags. So I think people like him, you know, who will be so kind-hearted, will come forward and, you know, he can tell us our gaps and then he can, you know, fill it up. So we are hoping this kind of, you know, people who are already established can help us also.
And right now, you know, everybody in the organization are volunteering.
Sure.
How are you going about recruiting more members and spreading the word?
Well, we talk about it. And then recently in October, on October 25th, we had a charity, Haiti, right, to set up an education fund for the children of prisoners. It was held at the Crystal Crown Hotel in PJ. And a tremendous crowd, you know, we had very good crowd. And what I did was to highlight the face of a boy behind chains, you know. And what I have written here is that he's speaking, you know. Give me a chance to live. Give me an education. I want my right to learn. I want to be somebody and not to be ostracized. Help me achieve my dream. So those words, you know, were there with his photograph. And so it was very touching for those elders, mothers and all. And they said, yes, you know, we immediately after my charity the high tea. I had so many volunteers who said, let me come and help you. You know, and I thought it was really very sweet of them, you know, coming forward. And they do not know what they want to do. I have to guide them. But yet, you know, coming forward just like that, telling me, look, I'll be there for you. I think that was really very nice of them, you know. And I thank all of them, you know, for it.
Right now, you're focusing on Kajang Prison, you mentioned earlier. And do you see Shi as something that's going to be based in the Klang Valley? And if not, are there plans to spread countrywide?
No, at the moment, I think I'll only focus on Kajang Prison because I need the people to work also. And we are a small group, you know. And so as we make the impact, then perhaps we can spread around, you know. But at the moment, because Lady Shruti has always told me, it should be, you know, we should go worldwide, which means all the countries in the world, you know, finally will join up and, you know, see how we can help one another. But that will be the larger, you know, direction. But at the moment, we can only focus on a small scale. So I thought even on a small scale, if we start, and if it is successful, why not? You know, at least we have helped out a few children. And I'll be very happy to think that they can achieve good grades in school. Because now they're all failing. They never go to school as they like. You know, they'll attend, otherwise no. They don't even have proper uniforms or, you know, shoes. So all these have to be provided. Give them good food. You know, we have to cater for that, you know. Milk, all those things we have to provide them. See, a healthy mind, you know, comes from a healthy body. So we have to provide the nutrition also so that I'll have to, you know, also deal with companies who can provide all this, you know.
Looking forward, what challenges do you foresee for Shi?
Challenges, of course, there are many because a lot of people are still skeptical, you know. They're not sure whether we will make it or is it just one story like anybody else's. But I think once you're determined, you know, and my team, luckily, you know, a very, very devoted group I have who are keen to ensure that we will be recognized as an organization to help out, you know, these children of prisoners. And I think it's not just the women alone. The men are also coming forward, you know. So which means I feel that, you know, finally Malaysian society, you know, we are also coming up, you know, basically to show that, you know, we do care for the disadvantaged, you know.
How can the public get involved and in touch with you if, you know, they're listening and they want to help?
Yeah, sure. I think, you know, I will need as many people to come forward, you know, to come on board, help me in whatever way they can. Okay, I'm the president and my number, can I mention the numbers?
Yeah.
My telephone number or my... it's 012-505-6585. My secretary is Nirmala. She's from Seremban. Her number is 013-360-8321. My vice president is Priya Chaskar. Her number is 011, followed by 41s, 1111-0600. And my treasurer is Maheshwari, 016-324-9214. We are now the four or five of us who are now the main group, you know. But we are, because Maheshwari, she's also in the yoga. So we hope to teach yoga also to these children, you know, because it should not be just education alone. Education is worldwide, you know. It's a very broad-based thing. So you must inculcate, you know, value systems. And yoga is a very good form of enabling the mind to digress, go above from what you feel. So even if you're so depressed, doing yoga itself can elevate you. So she's taking that initiative. And then I'm also in dance and music. We also hope to teach the children, you know, through some dance and music. So I think through these ways, we are hoping that, you know, the children will be all around us, something like that.
And what would you like from the public? Do you need more volunteers? Do you need donations?
Of course. One is volunteers. Funding is so important. You know, even with the charity high tea, what we collected, half of it went to the hotel itself. And our advisor is Dato Dr. Rasama Bhopalan, who was a famous educationist, and the, you know, she was in NCWO, and she was the one who fought for equal pay. So she is the one who's our advisor. And during that high tea, we also honored her because she was one of the few ladies who fought in the Second World War against the British. She carried arms and joined the Indian National Army. So we are very proud of her. And as a teacher, she also knows, you know, how we can help our children, you know. So she's now 88, but nevertheless very alert. So I think, you know, I want to make full use of her. So, I mean, she's like a mentor to me, you know. So, you know, we need donations, you know, all kinds of donations, you know. Sometimes bags, school bags, you know, whatever amenities they need. Of course, money is also important because we want to set up a school or a center. We need to pay the rentals, you know, or we may need to have a van to go and pick up the children and bring them to this place. So all this involves money, you know, a driver, you know, all that will, you know, it's not easy to find one. So I think as the public gets aware of all this, I hope those who are very, very rich and they think they got some extra money, please donate it to us.
At the moment, are donations or contributions tax deductible?
No, we are working towards it. So I think once I get it, it will be announced.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for coming in today, Professor.
Thank you so much.
I've been speaking with Professor Dr. Aruna Gopinath, President of Saluting Her Endeavor, or SHE, an organization that aims to uplift the lives of prisoners' children as well as single mothers. You've been listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.